The scripture is coming from 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verses 17 and 18. It reads, "Pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Amen.
Cloudless dome will lean that land where saints never die. We'll sing hallelujah by and by. In that mighty chorus, voices will so sweetly blend. We'll sing hallelujah by and by. Gone will be our sadness, pleasures there will never end. We'll sing hallelujah by and by. Oh, what joy when we get home and rest beneath the cloudless dome. Well, in that land where saints never die, we'll sing hallelujah by and by. Victory and love will be our everlasting theme. We'll sing hallelujah by and by. Praising our Redeemer there beside the crystal stream. We'll sing hallelujah by and by. Oh, what joy when we get home. We'll rest beneath the cloudless dome. We'll in that land where saints never die. We'll sing hallelujah by and by.
Revelation chapter 22, verse number 10. Then he told me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of the scroll, because the time is near. Let the one who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let the vile person continue to be vile. Let the one who does right continue to do right. And let the holy person continue to be holy." Amen. I'm gonna say good morning. It's good for us to be here. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. It'd be our lesson text for this morning. And also, after you will have marked Luke chapter 17, I also want you to mark Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to visit that as well. I want you to know that whether you're visiting with us or whether you are a member of this Franklin family, I'm grateful that you're here today. I'm really pleased about that. I'm also grateful that God has brought us together for yet another opportunity for worship and praise and fellowship among the saints. Give him adoration and all that our God is due from each and every one of us. Amen. Good morning to you. In Luke chapter 17, there's a story of lepers. And that story is pegged and marked as a story of people forgetting to say thank you. It's a story of people, they say, forgetting to express gratitude as they should to a true and living God. I want to read to you in your hearing from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19 as our lesson text this morning and see what we can glean from this lesson concerning God's will for our lives, which indeed is gratitude. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. You know, I look at this, and here what I see is an absolutely amazing display of the power of God. I mean, it's absolutely amazing to me because leprosy was absolutely the most dread disease that anyone could ever encounter in their lives. And yet, we see God with just a word healing them. But the question, I think, is more than that. The question is, what does it take to get you to call sincerely on the Master? Because for them, it took leprosy. What does it take for you to call on our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ? You see, in the first century, leprosy was a death sentence. It was a death sentence physically and socially as well. And with time and progression, it meant the loss of limbs and ultimately the loss of that person's life. It was a daily dirge, you see. It was a life of mourning, such as that of a funeral, which in essence, it was. And it was their own funeral to which they were attending every day of their lives. Every time a leper would pass by, people would look away. They would throw stones at him or shun them away, and they would avoid them at all costs. The life of a leper wasn't all that well. A leper lived every day with the pain of his disease and the associated shame that went along with it. And dying was his only companion. He led a life that was empty of love, a life that was empty of hope, a life that there were no smiles and no touching. He led a life where there were no simple common dignities at all apparent to him. So I'm willing to say that every leper from every leper colony certainly knew of this man called Jesus. I think they knew because the story had gotten around from Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 44. That story had circulated already, and that story goes like this. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer your cleansing, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Well, that word had definitely gotten around. Every leper knew that Jesus would not only heal them, but he would do what no one else dared to do. Jesus would touch them. He put his hands on them as well. So they knew about the story of Jesus and who he was. And so they began to cry out, Jesus. They began to cry out, Master, have mercy on us. What does it take for us to cry out to our Jesus? To cry out to the Master that he might have mercy on each and every one of us. What does it take to get you to call sincerely on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Does it take the worst of life to get you to just acknowledge him? Is it always the worst things that seem to come around our lives where we fall down and start to call on God? Have you ever had a relationship with someone that the only time they call on you is when they want something? Come on. I know we really don't like those relationships. I know we don't like them. And relationships where people always want from us and never want to acknowledge anything. Are we willing to acknowledge that we have a Master? Are we willing to acknowledge that we have a Savior, that we have a Lord whom we are accountable to, and that we ought to be grateful to more than when there's just trouble in our lives? Are we willing to call on the Lord in gratitude, call on him in appreciation, and be thankful to our Lord at all times, regardless of the situation at hand in our lives? You know, it's interesting to notice that it says in Luke chapter 17 and verse number 14, that as they went on their way, they were cleansed. That is, to me, is such an amazing display of God's power. Can you imagine a joy that was brought to these people's lives? Can you imagine the shouts and the hugs and the tears and the laughter that was displayed at that time, because now their skin is clear of disease? Their features are normal. They're laughing and they're celebrating and they're filled with joy because the stigma is lifted. Life is again possible for those people, and hope is real. Not only is hope real, hope is realizing their lives once again. One sidebar from this lesson that continues to ring true for me is that obedience and blessings go hand in hand. Obedience and blessing go hand in hand. You see, these individuals did exactly what was commanded of them. Jesus says, go and show yourselves to the priest. So they got up and went to the priest. They didn't say, I got to go home, or I got to do this. Why do you want me to go to the priest? They didn't question Jesus at all. They got up and they went to the priest. Again, I want you to understand, I want you to know, it's amazing how obedience always precedes God's blessings. You see, there was an occasion when Jesus said, stretch forth your withered hand. Will you just stretch forth your withered hand and obey me? Will you do what I ask you to do? And his hand was healed. He said to another man, you rise. You just get up, take up your bed and walk. Those crippled legs that you have for 38 years are going to have life in them. Would you listen to me? Would you just get up and walk? He told a man, go wash your blind eyes in the pool of Siloam. And the man got up and he went and he washed his eyes. And then the text says that he began to see. Obedience always precedes God's blessings. Luke 17, verse number 15, let's continue in our text. It says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. You know, there's a common assumption associated with this passage is that there was no gratitude at all in these people who were healed. I want to tell you that I'm not in agreement with that at all. I'm not in agreement with that assumption, because gratitude is more than simply an attitude. And we might do well to understand spiritually what gratitude is all about. Here are 4 things I gleaned from this concerning what genuine gratitude really is. The first thing is this. Gratitude is a decision and an action. Most time when one reads commentaries of Luke 17, the caption will often say, 9 ungrateful lepers healed. I gotta tell you, I just think that's wrong. 9 ungrateful lepers healed? I don't think that the other 9 were ungrateful at all. In fact, I think they were filled with gratitude. Can you imagine them responding to their friends they haven't seen in a while like this? The friend says, well, what happened, John? Didn't you just have leprosy? Why don't you have leprosy anymore? And then John goes on and he says, listen, there was this Jesus who cleansed me of leprosy, and now I have my family back. I have my life back. I have my job back. He cleansed me of leprosy, and life has given me hope. And you know what? It's the worst thing that could ever happen to me. I don't think any one of them said that at all. I see all 10 of them feeling incredibly grateful for what God had done for them. And every time they met someone from their past life and has retold that story again, I think they were reminded of the good that Jesus did for each and every one of them. But the point of the matter is this. Gratitude is more than thinking nice thoughts of kind gestures. It's more than that. The Lord is looking for a decision from you and a decision from me. He's looking for an act in response to the blessings that we receive. He's looking for determination that we're going to express appreciation not only in words, but also in our lives. We will live as if we are grateful to God every waking moment of our lives. We're going to live like we're thankful. There are too many people that's just throwing these words around. Thank God. Thank you, God. Just like they do love. I love you. And it's all for naught. They are empty words. We have got to live our lives as if we are grateful to God. That is His will. Children. Our children are something else, aren't they? Children are always born wanting things. And no parent has to teach them that. And children of God also want things. But we do, of course, have to teach our children to say those magical words, thank you. We all teach our kids to say thank you, to express that appreciation for the good things that are given to them and the things that are done for them. God does that with us as well. Paul says to the church of Philippi in Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God for the Father through him. Do all that you do. And give thanks in all that you have in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Give it up to God. Say thank you. And when you say thank you to God, you need to mean that. And so the Lord goes on and he asks the question again. Where are the other nine? He says, I see that you here, but I seem to remember cleansing 10 people. So where are the nine? I got to tell you, whatever they were doing or wherever they were, I'm sure they were grateful. But the Lord is looking for a decision and an action, not just some warm, fuzzy feeling that we have that's related to gratitude. You know, sometimes people tell you thank you or they love you simply because they want something. And when they want something again, they're going to come in your life again. They're going to tell you that they're sorry for whatever it was again. They're going to tell you they love you again because they want. Am I right? Because they want something. They think it's all about a warm and fuzzy feeling that's related to gratitude. We seem to only want God to know that deep down in our hearts that we are grateful. That seems to be all we want. But he is looking for a decision to express that to him in a meaningful kind of way, in deed and in action. Too many people, they take it for granted that someone just loves them. Instead of telling them and showing them that you love them, you take it for granted. Just tell them from time to time. Just tell them thank you from time to time. It goes a long way. Second of all, gratitude demands humility. It's an act or decision that acknowledges that there's someone beyond us, someone to whom we are accountable, somebody who is the source of life's good things. And we are going to humble ourselves before him in genuine gratitude. Let's go to the wilderness. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to start in verse number 10. Deuteronomy chapter 8. In verse number 10. Deuteronomy is a book that Moses speaks to the children of Israel, and he says over and over again the word remember. Remember to do this and remember to do that. And don't forget this and don't forget that. Remember is what he says in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 10, the Bible says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Remember to thank God, to express your gratitude, and live as you should as an act of humility and an offering of gratitude to God. He says, remember that. verses 11 through 18, it says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest, when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought you water for you out of a flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Listen. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 8 where God says, I'm going to give you a land. In fact, I'm going to give you a good land, a land of plenty, a land where there's a lot for you to enjoy. Well, here's the story repeated. Here's history repeated. That's a blessing that's granted to all of us this day. That's what God has given each and every one of us. He's given it to you and he's given it to me. He's given us houses, a place to live, somewhere to lay our head. Congratulations, church, because that's you today. The fact of the matter is that everyone has a place to go. And God goes further on by giving us a job, a means to make a living so that you can enjoy life. Again, I say congratulations, church, because that's you. Everything in Deuteronomy chapter 8 that God says to Israel, he says to you and he says to me. And the question that Moses asks is, will we be humble enough to thank God for the good things that we have? Will you? Or do we take all of that for granted until finally some crisis presents itself in our lives and we are driven to our knees? And then we cry out for the master. Gratitude is an act of humility. And the third thing is, in that humility, gratitude should draw us closer to God. In verse number 12 of Luke 17, it says, then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They stood afar off because that's what lepers do. There was a distance between them and God. But it was the expression of gratitude that closed the gap. The one who returned falls down at his feet and gives him thanks. No longer was he afar off. Gratitude brought him closer to God. And gratitude, amen, you with me? Gratitude will also bring you closer to God. Do you ever feel that? That there's a gap between you and God? That somehow, in some way, when you pray that your prayers are going to just go to the ceiling, but probably not any farther? That somehow, in some way, there's developed a distance between you and God? You ever feel like that? Well, could it be that distance is there because it's hard to have a relationship with someone if all you're doing in that relationship is asking them constantly just to give you something? Does your conversation with God only involve you asking him for something? Examine yourself and look at it and see that. Every time you fall down on your knees, or you're always. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to set aside a period of time. You determine how much time it is. But set aside a period of time where you can offer to God only prayers of thanksgiving. And not ask him for anything. Just thank him, just praise him, just give him adoration. I wonder, can your selfish heart allow you to do that? It's hard to have a relationship with someone if all they do is repeatedly ask you for something. I gave you that car. Now you want me to give you gas money too? I gave you that house. Now you want me to furnish that house for you too? I gave you life. Now you want me to live your life too? I do. I just want you to give and give and give. We need to just pray some prayers that are just thanks and praise to God. That's what we need to do, to do that. It's hard, though, not to ask anything from God, isn't it? Isn't it hard? Because that's how we've learned to pray. Thank you, God, for all that we have. Thank you for this and for that. And thank you for even more. And we say that in just a few seconds, and we say, now, God, here is our list. And we just want to make all of these requests good, Lord. Please make them good. Please make the undesirables in my life go away. Can you take care of all these things for us? Will you do it, God? Can I just ask you to do that? Now I understand that intercession and supplication are legitimate forms of prayer. We ought to ask God for others and ask God for ourselves as well. That's legitimate. But so is adoration and thanksgiving. And if we are honest with ourselves, we are truly honest with ourselves, we're going to find that there's a big disparity in how and what we offer to prayer and God. We ask him more than anything else for any and everything we can ask him for. I've said over and over again, people ask God for Cadillacs and ain't none of them in heaven. Not a one. Psalm 100, verses 1 through 4 says these words. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That's what genuine gratitude contributes to our souls. It contributes joyful shouts and gladness and singing. And it allows us to rush into his courts with thanksgiving and praise. And in humility, we bless his wonderful name. In humility, we remember the living God who rescued us from the tragedy that is in us and the tragedy that has become us. And we remember. Here's one for you. The date was September 8, 1860. And that date introduces to us Edward Spencer, who along with others saw a large and unusual amount of debris floating on Lake Michigan on that day. And before long, they realized that it wasn't just debris, there were bodies in the water. In fact, it was on that day a steamer named the Lady Elgin had collided with a schooner named Augusta. There were 387 souls aboard those two vessels. 278 of those souls would eventually die. Edward Spencer heard about the tragedy and the difficulties of people trying to survive. And immediately he went to the life station. He donned a vest, swam out into the frigid waters of the lake. He found a lady, wrapped his arms around her, and brought her to the shore. He returned to the water again and again and again. And before the morning was over, he was credited with saving 17 lives, Edward Spencer. 17 lives he saved. So now as we fast forward several decades, we see Edward Spencer as an old man, his hair and his beard just teeming with grays. And because what he did that day in those cold and icy waters, his physical ability would never be the same. His sacrifice rendered him dependent on a walker or a wheelchair for his mobility. He was later invited to Los Angeles to speak in a symposium on people who had risked their lives to save others. And at the end, during the question and answer period, a reporter said to Mr. Spencer, "You are credited with saving 17 lives." He then asked, "What is your strongest and most striking memory of that event?" And without hesitation, Edward Spencer said, "It is that not one of the 17 came back to say thank you." It is not one of the 17 came back and remembered. You know what's interesting to me? In verses 17 and 18, is the fact that Jesus noticed the one who came back to offer him thanks and appreciation. He noticed him. But he also noticed the nine who did not. In Romans chapter 1, it says that although they knew him as God, they didn't glorify him as God. Neither were they thankful. Their hearts were futile and foolish. It was darkened. They thought they were wise, but they were fools. They changed the glory of God to images of idols. And all that began with the fact that they knew God and his goodness, but they were not thankful. And so God gave them up. Again, they knew that God was there, but there was no gratitude and no humility to close the gap in their separation from God. Can we close that gap of separation between us and God by knowing that gratitude is God's will? Can we simply, from a sincere heart, thank God for the goodness that he's given to us in our lives? Not just all these things, but can we just thank God for just even breathing the air that he supplies to us? Can we just thank God? Gratitude is his will for our lives. Number 4, gratitude will often change our priorities and our perspectives. It will. I know we all have concerns, and we have real legitimate and serious concerns. And it's appropriate to pray to God about those things. But what gratitude does, it has helped me to understand that my concerns and my worries are those that are just piled up on top of my blessings. See, we pile up our concerns and our worries on top of our blessings over and over and over again. What are you saying, Brother Collins? What I mean is this. Even though I'm going to have car trouble, I'm grateful to have a car. Amen. Even though I have difficulties with my job, and I'm grateful to have a job, I may have difficulties with my health. But I'm grateful that what I struggle with is not nearly as difficult as some people have to endure. Guy died this weekend. The guy who played the Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman. And it said that all those films he made those films knowing full well that he had colon cancer. And he continued to do those things that his heart desired. He made those movies over and over and over again. And no one ever knew that. How could they know unless he'd tell them? But in my own mind, I like to think that he was grateful for just the opportunity he had to do just that. And what he did, church, was that he died right before our eyes. We watched him die. And we are not grateful for the lives that we have, that we live in front of God every day of our lives. We're not grateful for those things. I've got difficulties in my life. I've got difficulties in my health. But I'm grateful that what I struggle with is not nearly as difficult as what some people have to endure. What I do is I pile my concerns on top of my blessings all the time. And if my perspective is not one of gratitude to God for his abundant love and mercy for me, then I am much to be pitied, much. The point is, when I'm grateful to God, it changes my perspective and it draws me closer to him. Gratitude is God's will. It's his will because God knows what's good for each and every one of us. We don't know what's good for us, but God does. He does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 18 says these words. Rejoice always. You see, we've got a reason to be joyful always. Pray without ceasing. We've got a reason to continue to be down on our knees, prostrate before God. We've got a reason to do that. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do you see it? Let me hit you with that again. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything. Don't leave nothing out. Don't cut no corners. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ. In Christ. God wants us to make a decision and act from a heart of humility that says, I appreciate God what you have done for me. Not just casually saying thank God or God have mercy. Not just casually passing those words on. Oh, you know, I love you. That's ridiculous. We're talking about a sincere heart recognizing what God has done for you. And want to show God by the way that I live my life. Lord, I don't only want to say it to you, I want to show it to you by the way I live my life. And what I want you to remember as you speak those words is that he notices who does, he notices who doesn't. As a Christian and as the recipients of God's gifts, we ought to never stop thanking God for his grace and mercy. We ought to never stop living a life that proclaims our gratitude for his love in and as Jesus Christ, God's Son, and our Savior. Because that gratitude is God's will for your life, for your life, and for your life, and is God's will for my life. Not only to say it, but to live our lives out in the presence of God, filled with gratitude, to bust his gates wide open with praise and thanksgiving, coming in joyful and smiling and laughing and singing. What does it take to get you to call sincerely on the master? What does it take? We're talking about a different MasterCard here that we're going to use, amen? What does it take to get you to use the MasterCard? Does it take the worst of life to get you to acknowledge God? Does it take an event that knocks you down to your knees to call on him, to say thank you, and mean exactly that? We're going to offer an invitation here in a few minutes. And here's an opportunity to show gratitude and obedience to God's will, to allow Jesus to touch you and to heal you. My question is, will you call on the master to deliver you from the death sentence? To deliver you from this dread disease of sin, the leprosy of your soul? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. That's the bottom line. We live in a life every day that we're just going to die if we don't acknowledge God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It is by grace you have saved through faith. It's not of your own, not even of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And we ought to be grateful for that gift. And if we are grateful, we're going to hear his word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. And if we're grateful, we're going to certainly repent of our sins and believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. But the scripture had concluded all in the sin, that the promise by faith of Christ Jesus might be given to them that believe. Luke chapter 5, verses 31 through 32. Jesus answering them said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners, those filled with leprosy in their souls are called. I just came to call them to repentance. The question still remains, will you repent of your sins? Because as Christians, we have no need to be in a position where there's a gap between us and God. Be grateful to God. Repent of your sins and let's close that gap. If you're not a child of God, if you're just out there just groping in the darkness, come show yourself to the priest, our high priest, who's the Christ, because he can heal you. Repent of your sins and come to God. We got to confess Christ. Confess him with all that we know and all that we have. 1 John 1:8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins, because leprosy is a death sentence and only Jesus can cure you. Romans chapter 6, verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. You'd have a brand new life. It's like the lepers had brand new skin. And we can be joyful. And we can shout. And we can sing. And we can praise God for our rescue. And in the end, we can all come back and remember that it was God who saved our lives, our very souls. Gratitude, church, is God's will for our lives. It's his will for you and his will for me. Will you respond in obedience to God as we stand and sing invitation song?
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance within demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling, open there. Were you my Lord, were you there? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord, were you there?
Good morning, church. We're not a part of our worship service, which is the Lord's Supper, in which we are instructed to come together on the first day of the week in remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'll be reading from Matthew chapter 28, beginning at verse 1. And the Bible reads, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going to be before you in Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, 'Rejoice.' So they came and held him by his feet and worshiped him." Continuing in Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 26, the Bible reads, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." Let us pray. Father God, we come to you at this time with bowed heads and humble hearts. Father God, just thanking you, Father God, and being thankful for partaking in this communion. Father God, we ask that you bless this bread that represents your son's body, and that you bless this cup that represents your son's shed blood. Father God, we just pray and ask that everyone that partake of this communion does in a manner that is pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. All these prayers we ask in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, we also had a part of our service, which is collection, in which we're instructed to give back just a portion of what the Lord has blessed us with. We have the opportunity to bring our offering before or immediately after service in the collection box. I'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. The Bible reads, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come." I'll also be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse 6. The Bible reads, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Let us pray. Father God, we come to you once again with bowed heads and humble hearts, thanking you, Father God, for this collection that was gathered in your name. Father God, we're thankful for those who gave, Father God, and we're thankful for those who had the desire to give, Father God, but not able to at this present time. Father God, we just ask that these funds be used for the upkeep and the outreach of your ministries, Father God. We pray that you'll be with the men handling these funds, that the things they do and say will be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. All these prayers we ask in your darling son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.